Me now, as he does each and every Friday for an hour. Time goes by way too quickly, though. It only seems generally like 20 minutes, but here he is.
What did you shoot today?
81.
Where'd we play?
Prestwick at Wedgwood and Woodbury. But let me say this. I finally have rediscovered. Remember a song by the late Whitney Houston that was Where Do Broken Hearts Go?
Yeah.
My question is, where does that good golf swing go? Where does it go? You've had it.
It's there.
That played it somewhere.
It's there. You got to find it.
But then sometimes you can lose it for literally days and weeks, months, even years. I've been searching for my swing for
days.
Over 2 years. No.
Oh, come on.
My swing.
Last year you shot 71, 72, 71, the second week of the season.
Well, let's not get carried away. I had one round of even par golf last year, and that was just able to.
You shot 71.
72.
I thought
and I was able to kick. I figured out.
No, that's right. It was the fall before that.
Yes, I had a.
But what made you think you lost your game, your swing, man?
Well, you just know, when you're swinging and you're. I mean, Dark, I could still kick the ball in the hole on any given day if you grind it out, kick the ball, get up and down, bounce off a tree.
That good short game helps, doesn't it?
You can still. But I'm talking about when you stand up there with a 7-iron. For instance, for me. The 7-iron is generally a 150-ish club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
152 sometimes, maybe 147. If I'm hitting it really well, maybe I can push it 155, but it's my 150-ish club. So you know when you've put a good 150 swing on the club and you feel, the swoosh, not the thwack. You know the feel, the swing, everything's loose, it's oily. I haven't had that. I can't find it. I found it the last couple of days where I've had it for two or three swings during a round, and then it goes away. But now when it goes away, it doesn't go away. In other words, it's like all of a sudden, it's still, that wasn't bad. It wasn't right, but it wasn't bad. And today I had a number of flush iron swings, and I'm like, put it this way. If I'm in that dark room and I'm looking for the light switch, I'm on the right wall right now, and I'm closing in on the switch. Let's just say that. I'm very happy with my progress the last couple of days.
I went through a period of time where I played as good as I could possibly play, and then came back and didn't play very well and kept having to live up to it. I think I told you when I went to Hawaii last year, I was there for 27 days. Shot my best round the first day I was there. There's nothing worse than that. I mean, there's nothing worse than that. And when the golf swing evacuates, regardless of what kind of swing it is, if you're making some kind of premeditated move at the ball, that's your game. That's who you are and what you are. But I think the trick is, and I'm just about back to where I need to be, hit the ball really good off the tee. I got big power fade working. I just can't hit the ball out of the fairway. The 5-iron might as well be a pitchfork through my neck.
Really?
I'm missing it left and right and short, and it's not because I don't have the right club in my hand. You know, we got a distance marker that we take with us.
Right.
So we know how far it is to the hole. So I'm never traveling blind. And if you can't pull the right club out of the bag, here's the problem with being 66. You should always put one more club in your hand. If you think it's 6, hit the 5.
And if 6 were 9, you'd be 99 years old and you'd look good for 99.
And if my aunt had different plumbing fixtures, she would have been my uncle. And don't put any parts into the crowd.
I only own one suit, but when I wear it, it's the nicest suit in the room.
I can't. I'm going to.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I mean, if you're only going to own one suit.
Oh, yeah.
Make it a nice suit.
That'd be killer.
And it doesn't matter what room I'm in. When I'm wearing that suit, I've got the nicest suit in the room. And I like that. I just like knowing that.
I've got one of those. You know,
are you able to look comfortable in a suit? Some guys can't look comfortable. If you don't wear a suit a lot, it's hard to look comfortable in a suit. I feel as though I look comfortable.
I worked in the real world for 22 years before I got into the whatever this is. Where am I?
The crazy, wacky world of radio.
Unbelievable. Money's half decent and there's no heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
We're the fortunate few. Right. I take umbrage with Little B's conversation.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
A number of people did. There were some people that were bitter. I didn't read all of them to her, and I hope she doesn't get angry or upset or feel bad. She has a personality and a strong personality, and she likes to do the old do as I say, not as I – well, not as I do, but she likes to tell people what to do. And a lot of people were very bitter today because they weren't happy about her telling her how to dress. What would you take umbrage with?
I wasn't really listening. I was just waiting to talk. Here's what I take umbrage with. If you're a woman –
and you have $428, go buy yourself a pair of $428 jeans and then go down here to the Cowboy restaurant, W. Keith's, on a Friday night. Plop those suckers up there on the stool, and the wolves will come howling at your door, mama. I'm telling you, the more money you spend on clothes, the better you look.
$30 shorts? I don't think so. What if somebody saw you buying them?
I own one suit, but when I wear that suit, I have the nicest suit in the room.
It's the best suit in the room.
It's the best suit in the room. It just is.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't get much wear, though.
Huh.
That's why I just bought one, though, because I don't use them very often. Weddings, funerals, and...
Almanac.
Weddings, funerals, almanac, and court appearances.
Yeah.
I love when the thug goes for the court appearance, he gets all cleaned up, cuts the hair,
right,
puts on the suit. Like I did see, I think it was Chris Cook, his first court appearance. He wore the black suit, I think he had a white tie. It's like,
yeah,
that's good for when you're clubbing. Don't wear the white tie to court. The next time he went to court, he had a black tie. Don't make a fashion. The judge don't want you making a fashion statement.
Yeah.
He wants you to have a serious demeanor.
Well, a lot of those guys have only had their picture taken in lineups. Give me a front, turn to the right. Mm-hmm. That's the only time. So they have no awareness for what that situation might create. But I will say this. If you beat up your girlfriend and you have to go to court, rightfully, and your attorney doesn't tell you to wear a dark suit, a white shirt, and a black tie, and then you've got the wrong attorney.
Yeah, I think you do. Very conservative. Make it a conservative look. A very conservative look.
Joe Friedberg and Carolyn, his wife, have a system.
It's a very flamboyant criminal defense attorney, Joe Friedberg.
Best defense attorney in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Upper Midwest, I think.
And I don't think there's any question about it. And by the way, he's my attorney. Which is, if you don't like me for some reason, you think I did something, come and get it.
Come and get me, Kappa.
Yeah, here's Joe's number. Call him at home. But at the end of the day, you are what you wear, except for meat sauce.
Right.
Thank you.
No, it's true. You can wear whatever you want. You're setting trend style for a younger demographic that we don't know about.
Right.
Now, my boy's caught a 15.5-pound walleye off the dock at Grandview today.
Off the dock?
About 7 feet of water.
Did he just grab him barehanded?
He had a look at him before he hit the plug. Yeah. Imagine that, 15-pounder. And they sent me a picture of him, but I don't know how to use the phone thing.
Now, did they all of a sudden empty the beaches and put up a warning not for swimmers to stay out of the
water?
These kids away, because that fish that big will eat you.
Yeah, they'll swallow a small child's ankle. There's no question about it. Yeah,
big fish.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you a question.
I hit it right up the middle. I thought you were going to ask me where did I hit it on what.
Then what?
Kind of hit a low iron, didn't hit it very well. I caught a little thin, knocked it on the green, and two putted. I had a couple of three putts.
What'd you hit for your second shot at 18?
3-wood right to the fringe. It was downwind. I had a chance to get home in two, which is
chip
rare
or putt
for
from
me.
There.
I putted from the fringe.
How far off the green were you?
Foot.
Yeah. How short did you leave?
Six.
Yeah.
And then missed the 6-footer. My putter's been
bulky
the last couple of days. But
you can leave yourself 6-footers.
Today I was not concerned about the score, though. It's like I have to get ready for June 4th and 5th at Edina Country Club,
right,
Minnesota State Senior Open.
Yeah.
Whatever happens between now and then doesn't matter other than it needs to start getting better. The short game, I'll put my short game up against anybody in the state. I don't worry about the short game.
You're the up and down king.
That doesn't bother me. The putter will come. If I start striking my irons well, watch out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I quit playing on Saturday afternoons.
Why?
Well, I have to listen to meat sauce. You think I'm going to miss that from 1 to 3?
Well, thank you.
I might have been born at night, but they won last night. And by the way?
It's a Dark Star production.
There's that.
Common, will you ask Dark if he has any picks for Canterbury's opening night tonight for a guy who lives within walking distance from the track and always carries a crisp $100 bill in his pocket?
Really? Then why aren't you taking your car? You're so smart and got so much money.
Who would you pick?
Come begging me for a play? We have a
show
on this radio station
tonight
at 6 o'clock.
Oh, really?
And at 6, no, excuse me, 6:30 at a high five.
Immediately following Bumper to Bumper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Paul Allen, Dark Star, Randy Sampson, John Gruden, and Jeff Madej. Every Friday night at 6:30.
Who's who?
We're going to have some fun. It's gonna, and I'll give out what I can give out then. I'll give you a couple horses that I like.
Let me ask you this. Who do you like for the Derby?
Creative Cause.
Why is that?
Troubled Trip. Be better tomorrow. Be better.
Really?
I think so. I think so. But, you know, we get excited about all of them out there. I don't think the favorite's going to win. I don't think that front ender is going to be able to race five races in a row like this and then come back at a mile and 3/16 on the toughest first turn, clubhouse turn, at any major racetrack in America. These are three-year-olds.
Why is that the toughest turn?
It's when they built the track back in the 1880s, they got the front stretch in, and as they started to bend it around to the back stretch, somebody came in and said, hey, I own 40 feet of that land on the outside. So the first turn, the clubhouse turn, around to the back stretch is basically a left. You almost have to yield the right-of-way there. Look out for kids coming home from school. I mean, it's just a left turn. And if you haven't had an experience, I think it makes a difference. And a lot of times these out-of-town riders, now Rosario's going to ride my horse, but I think he could ride out a bad cold at the Equator. So I just think that they didn't have enough real estate to do what they wanted to do, and that's why it's the way it is. The Derby's a mile and a quarter. The Preakness is a mile and 3/16, which is shorter. Let me see. Shorter. And then the Belmont at a mile and a half.
What's the tougher turn? Clubhouse turn at the Preakness Stakes or the third turn at Talladega?
I think when you examine both surfaces.
Huh?
What was that for? I think if you examine both surfaces, you're going to find out that if you're going to try to run that three-wide high wall, good luck to you. But you better have some room on the inside to get out of those problems because there's going to be a teammate coming to push that guy next to you right to the lead. And if you get stuck up on the wall, you're never going to find out what Lee Westwood shot on the front.
Giddy up, doggies. We'll take a short break and come back with more of a Dark Star on the Fan.
It's Common and Dark Star on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan brought to you by White Castle, Lucky.
And like the Fan on Facebook, and you could be the first to claim passes to see movies like Men in Black 3, Chernobyl Diaries, and Snow White and the Huntsman. Like the Fan on Facebook for all the details.
Diamonds on the soles of his shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket, with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Oh.
Ta-na-na, ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Dark Star with the Common Man, as he is each and every Friday.
Have you listened to Sauce lately? He'll be on tomorrow from 1 to 3 at Dark Star Production.
It's really good.
He's getting better.
Yeah.
And he was already really good. I just couldn't convince him of it. And finally, that fateful night at Canterbury Park turned it all around for the Sauce Man. He's untouchable.
Yeah, he's just starting to go with the flow, do that. Just be who you are. Even though you don't really like who you are, nobody else does, no one would aspire to be you, that's all you got. So use it to your advantage, and I think he's done that rather well.
Makes sense to me. Whatever.
Yeah, it does me too.
Yeah. 1 o'clock tomorrow, don't forget.
Hometown 9 at the beginning of the week had a real nice opportunity, despite the fact they've been, record-wise, the worst team in baseball. They hosted the Cleveland Indians for two games. Going into that series, they were 8 games out. If they could win those two, they would drop it to 6. Did not. They lost. Went to 10. However, it remains at 10 as they put together a couple of decent ball games against a, I would call them an underachieving Detroit Tiger team. We're 10 out. We're in Milwaukee. We're in mid to late May, mid-May. Well, what are your thoughts on the club right now? In other words, how many games do you think they win the division by?
7.5.
Where do you think this team is headed? Do you see anything encouraging here at all, Dark? Or is
Yeah, Dozier.
Okay.
I like Dozier a lot. Dozier's a major league ball player.
And I think he can play there forever because he'll get a little better the more tactical he gets. Mm-hmm. You know, you play a certain way. But he's fine. And I think he's going to hit, which we need. And it got Danny Valencia out of town, which I thought was magnificent.
Yeah,
and so did the players. If the truth were, he was a pain in the ass. He was terrible. I'll tell you a story on the air someday after it's all over. I can't do it while a man's making a living and playing this wonderful game. I'm not about to do that. But at some point, I'll tell you the story, and you'll feel exactly the same way I do.
Other than the Dozier, what else is there for Twins fans to look forward to?
We had a little problem with the pitching this week. You've got two guys that have to give you innings. And Jason Marquis is probably at the end of the weasel here. This is probably the last wag of the tail. I don't know what you do with him. Those home runs that he gave up, I went to the game on Tuesday, and you know how home run sounds?
Mm-hmm.
This sounded like Gettysburg when he's going to hit that home run in one inning and hit three homers. And the thing that scared me the most about him was none of the balls were in a good position. Like, he didn't throw a couple sliders on the ankle. He didn't do anything. He hung a slider. He threw a fastball, and then he threw another fastball, and then got hit out of the ballpark. But when you get a guy that hits a home run off the slider, there's a guy standing in the on-deck circle right there. All he's got to do is go to the plate and wait for him to throw the fastball. He's going to throw it at some point. He's not going to throw you three straight sliders. He's not. He never does. So he's pretty easy to read, and he's not very good. The other night, when he pitched here, he had 46 strikes and 40 balls. That's way too many. That's way too many. And the other problem they're having, and it's the number one problem, it's leaning up against pitching, in my opinion. They did not play well in the field at all. Mm-hmm. And the perfect example of what can happen to you is Detroit had Cecil Fielder drop the ball at first base on an easy throw.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bounce. It didn't do anything. Hit him in the heel of the glove. And the Twins went on to blow him out. But that was two outs when that happened.
Right.
Two out situations where you make a blunder, it seems like they always come back, not only to hurt you, but to beat you.
You mentioned the pitching with Marquis. You got Blackburn with arm trouble. Pavano's got arm trouble. At least it looks that way. Baker's got arm trouble. Liriano's got head trouble. All you have really right now are Diamonds and Walters and hopes nobody else falters, or Walters and Diamond and who's ever behind him, kind of my...
You're going to see
Spawn insane and pray for rain
and
take off there. Well, I mean, so the pitching staff, you're right, the pitching staff's, it's a mess.
They don't have any pitching.
Yeah.
And we said this before the season starts. They're going to win some games 11-8.
Yep.
But they're going to lose a lot of games 5-0.
Yeah.
5-1, 6-2, something like that. This is a nice outbreak they had here against Detroit. And Detroit's got to be scratching their head. You know they were looking to get comfortable for two games.
Yep.
Twins are in town. Thank God we get a couple of days off.
Right. We've been struggling. Maybe this will get us off the schneid and jumpstart our season.
Well, they played like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. But the Twins, take nothing away from the Twins. The Twins played good in Detroit.
Here's my my take on the Diamond character. Tell me if you agree with this. I'm hoping it lasts, not just for the Twins' sake, but for his. I really think, though, especially the first start, he was kind of pitching for his career, wasn't he? I mean, there wasn't much more of Scott Diamond left. If he comes in that first start and he pitches horribly, he ain't going to get me many more chances after that, not only here but anywhere, right? I mean, he was pitching for his career.
He was in a position where I assume that was an open tryout, and you're going to see some other guys like Walter. And you're going to see you come back around, and you're going to see some faces that you've seen before. But they have to find two more guys that can start. And if I were absolutely positively sure, I'd say so. But they thought they had the Delmon Young deal done to get a pitcher,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen. And then they lingered because Washington told them we can make this work.
Right.
And they didn't make it work. What are you going to do? But if Denard, did I say Delmon? I might say Delmon.
You said Delmon.
Yeah.
You meant Denard.
Denard. And Delmon's got his own problems.
Yeah, he does.
Called the general manager at 2:30 in the morning. Hello, sir. This is the police. We arrested one of your players down here in a hate crime.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, that's not the call the general manager.
Come on, Delman, punch a bouncer or something.
Yeah.
Really, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Delman.
And if you're going to punch him, your left hand, your gloved hand, don't use it with your throwing hand because you could be out for a long
time. Yeah, long time. You have to be able to wrap it up and go if they need you.
What I was encouraged with, he continues to surprise. I keep waiting. I'm waiting for him to announce his retirement rather than hit two-run homers. Morneau comes back again. He's on the DL. He's got the wrist issue. He spent more time in the DL than just about anybody in Major League Baseball over the past 2 years. And he comes back against Detroit, and he hits a two-run homer. And I think he had a double the night before, and he's hitting the ball well again. If he can stay healthy, he doesn't seem to have lost much. I mean, again, he's not he was struggling. How am I trying to say this? He shows signs of what he was, and you hope he can be again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's 20 pounds lighter, and the balls are traveling about 15 feet in from where he normally hits them. Mm-hmm. But he's still got fast hands, and he's still really good in the batter's box. He hits a lot of balls inside that you don't think he's going to be able to get enough bat on to get him through the shift that everybody uses. They fade him that way now. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, I agree with you.
What do you make of Mauer?
Jury's still out. See me in August.
Do you have any ideas, theories?
He's going to have to play better than he's playing now.
Everybody's susceptible to a slump. We know that. And even
this is a flaw. This isn't a slump.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm thinking as well. There's something.
He's not elevating the ball. You can change that with your mechanics. And he isn't doing so. And I sure hope they don't hang it on Joe Vavra because he ain't got it coming.
Well, you saw what they hung on Mickey Hatcher.
Right.
Pujols, a struggle.
Right.
They hung on. They fired him. He'd been there for years. He's one of the managers. What's the manager of the Angels' name? What's his
Mike
name?
Socha.
Socha, I think, and Hatcher go way back. They're tight buddies. All of a sudden, he's gone. Now, is that rumor true? See, I've not been able to verify with the people that I trust. Did they let Hatcher go because Pujols complained about him?
Hatcher and Pujols got in a he said.
Okay.
And
who do you think is going to win that? $250 million man or your hitting coach?
Pujols goes to the manager and says, hey, I don't need him climbing on my back. And so you bring Mickey Hatcher in, you sit him down and say, hey, I hate to tell you this, but you're only going to be the hitting coach for 24 guys. Leave Albert alone. And Mickey Hatcher said, I don't think so. I'm the hitting instructor here for everybody. And if I'm not the right guy, then maybe you should go find the right guy. And they said, okay, we'll get back to you. So
that's how it went. Yeah. So, okay, because yeah, I thought maybe it was Poole said, get rid of this guy.
Socha went to the general manager and said, hey, what do you want to do? And the general manager says, I hired you to make decisions like this, too. You got to help me here. Tell me what I need to know. And then they talk it over, and so they fire Mickey Hatcher. What do you do, release Pujols?
Yeah, I don't think you'll do that.
No, you just evade the inevitable for as long as you can. And try not to hurt Mickey Hatcher's feelings. He's been there a long time. He's been a good hitting instructor.
Take a short break. Come back with more with Dark Star after this.
Watch Deuce and baby brother Peter's first ever limo ride.
The Fan is proud to support the Hartford and RE/MAX Results Breast Cancer Ride August 4th through the 5th. The money raised by riders will go to provide meals and assistance to those with breast cancer and to support breast cancer research. Registration for the bike ride begins now. For all the details, KFAN.com, keyword community.
She's got Betty Davis eyes. She turn the music on you.
Betty Davis eyes.
Jimmy Carnes.
First time I heard this song, I thought it was just nuts.
It's a really good song.
Oh.
Really good song. I'm a big Kim Carnes guy. Let me ask you a question.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
A lot of people try to make out their schedules in the summertime so they know where they're going to be as they get through their work week. And a guy asked me today when I was walking in through the door downstairs. I didn't have a pen with me, so I got to ask you. On the 29th and 30th, You're apparently going to be in the Brainerd Lakes area.
Maybe doing some comedy at Pines Peak up in the Brainerd Lakes area, Nisswa 50 Lakes up in that neck of the woods. Pines Peak, along with Jamie Blanchard, a very funny young man. We will be performing on the 29th and the 30th. Pines Peak.
Well, Ron and I are going to come up for the show.
I'd love to see you.
We'll be there.
We'll have some yucks for you.
You know what we'll do? We'll get all the guys. We'll invite all the golf pros. We'll get all the people we can from there. Don't want to say it again. It might sound like payola. Let's do that. Let's get the guys together and go.
Well, the thing you'll have to tell them, though, no money, no fighting. We don't do comps at the comedy show.
Dan, these are people that have met you more than twice. You don't think they have that equation down pat yet? If they don't, I'm not bringing them to... Where's the name of the place again?
Pines Peaks.
In Brainerd, Minnesota, 29th and 30th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I'll go home now. Here's a question I have for you.
And by the way, Sauce and I will probably be working together again.
Ooh, you got another 7th of July?
No. That's a different one. That's me on...
What is that one on the 7th of July?
I'm going to be on the riverboat.
Really?
But more details on that because I don't have enough of them now to expound any further. But Meat Sauce and I will be working on a stage together very, very soon, coming to a stage near you. More on that later as well.
Very good.
Sauce is going to be making his triumphant return to the comedy stage.
My guy. I'll tell you what. I told everybody. Did I not tell everybody?
Dark, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Are you nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame?
I don't want to talk about that today. But thanks for bringing it up. Now,
let me ask you a question. I'm getting a number of emails from people frustrated with the Twins in all facets, including pitching and hitting. Some people want to lay the blame squarely. You said, a name you mentioned earlier, Joe Vavra. Others, Rick Anderson. Someone just sent an email that said, isn't it funny that the two pitchers that are doing the best right now, Walters and Diamond, haven't been up long enough for Rick Anderson to have screwed up yet? Do you think that these two guys are Vavra's a good hitting coach and Anderson's a good pitching coach, or could they be part of the problem?
Let's talk about Joe Vavra first.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference if he can coach or not. Every year at the end of July into August, he's got a farm over in Wisconsin. He makes the best sweet corn on the face of the earth.
Really?
You ever had that Delaware white sweet corn?
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. So I don't care if Mauer hits or not as long as I get my sweet corn. On the Anderson front, did everybody forget that he taught Santana how to pitch? Everybody forget that? I mean, when he got him, all Santana could do was throw.
Right.
And Anderson taught him how to pitch. I mean, maybe he's got some guys that don't have a lot of talent. I think he's doing the best he can. I've always been a big fan.
So if it's the talent more than anything, then is it at the scouting department? Do we have issues there? What's at the crux of this? Or is this just, sometimes you're good, sometimes you ain't. It's the ebb and flow of baseball.
I think when they spent all that money for Mauer and Morneau, it kind of put them into an ideological box. And the problem they have now is they don't know how much money they can afford to spend on smaller items. And I think money's a big part of the equation. I sure would have liked to have seen him jump up and take Inge when he was on the market after Detroit let him go. He wound up in Oakland and hit 2 grand slam home runs immediately. So there are things you can do. But no, I think, at the end of the day, the sun's still coming up in the morning.
So what are they going to do with the club, though?
I'd mail it to somebody. Maybe you have a relative in Sandusky, Ohio. Just put the whole team in an envelope and just send them off.
There's definitely some trouble there. We've got a first baseman that's injury riddled, but he does show signs. Second baseman's just died. Shortstop looks like he's got a future. Jamie Carroll can hold down third for now, but that's not long term. Outfield, I like Span. Revere might be okay. We don't know about, I guess Willingham's pretty good. Mauer's a mystery, and the pitching staff's a mess. I'm really having some issues with the team. Let's take a couple of phone calls, including this one from Matt. Matt, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, long-time fan. Say, I think what people are forgetting is with the pitching and the coaching, it's not so much the pitchers. Well, it is the pitchers, but not so much the coaches. It's the mindset that the team has had for so many years of go get these pitchers that pitch to contact. That's all they could afford for the longest time. Now, Andy, he's a great guy at taking these mid-level pitch-to-contact pitchers and making them decent, but after a while, they show their colors, and that's all we have are mid-level pitch-to-contact pitchers that are showing their level.
So you agree with me. You don't think it's Anderson's fault?
No, not at all. I think Anderson has done great with what they've given him. What the problem is after so long of pitching to contact, these guys lose their nerve and they're no good anymore. They only last so long.
That's pretty good. All right, let's move along. How do you feel about that? Give me a critique on Vavra and give me a critique on Rick Anderson.
I don't know.
Because we haven't talked about this at all.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. I don't know enough about the ins and outs of what an actual pitching coach, how much he adds or subtracts from a player or a hitting coach. So the other day I said, they could just as well fire the whole lot, just clean them all out because things are bad. I don't know if that serves a purpose or not. I think after a while what fans want to see, whether this is right or wrong, it's they look at a situation and they say, it's not going well the way it is now, and it's the old, you can't fire the team, so you got to make some changes, institutional changes, that at least looks like you're trying to go in the other direction. So from what I do think it's more of a lack of talent, but then that goes back to the team. I agree. Here's the thing. Really good pitchers and 50-a-year home run hitters, they cost a lot of money, and this team is not going to spend that kind of money on that. They invested already too much money in Joe Mauer, and to get the Prince Fielders of the world, you got to spend $200 million. To get the Roy Halladays of the world, you got to spend $150 million. The Twins will never do that. What the Twins' way of doing things is the way you're always going to see. Try to have enough young guys before they get, by the way, to their arbitration until they get to free agency. Try to milk the most out of young guys as you can. Hopefully win a weak division and then just cross your fingers when you get to the playoffs and hope you get a couple of good performances out of your pitch to contact hitters. That's the way they've always operated the team, and that's the way they always will, it looks like to me.
I'm going into the clubhouse after every game in the whole system. And I'm going to evaluate every single wife and girlfriend that come out the door with the players. Because if a guy comes out the door with a 5, I got to believe he lacks self-confidence.
Yeah, baby.
Let's take a phone call from AJ. AJ, you're on the fan.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, before Dark Star hangs Rick Anderson's resume on Johan Santana, remember, Slowey, Blackburn, Baker, Liriano, they all came up through Anderson as young guys. Not one of them has gotten better. They've all gotten worse. Not to mention that Loesch somehow ends up on the staple of the world championship pitching staff. So Anderson, I mean, come on, Dark. Let's not, you know, it is what it is, and he hasn't improved anybody for years.
Thanks for your call, AJ. Your thoughts?
I disagree with that. I think he's taken what he has and made the best out of it. And the fellow that was, you know, you always love to hear a guy like that because that's what baseball's about for me, too. It's about passion. You know, even if your team's getting kicked around, it's still baseball, and it's the best.
Let's take a phone call from Mike. Mike, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Hey, Dark. Sports show is appointment television for me, and I would like to ask you about last Sunday.
Yeah, well, it was Mr. Hartman and I got sideways with each other, and I screamed at him, and he screamed at me. And then he grabbed my arm, and I thought about knocking him out, but we're making so much money with him, I can't afford to get him hurt. He has to play. He's our shortstop on that. He's the star of the show. We got to have him in the lineup. I would have killed him years ago if it wasn't for that. I can do the time. I've got 14 years of books to read. If I can kill Sid Hartman, back then it would have been fine.
I thought you were going to kill him on Sunday.
I did too there for a minute, but something just drew it back. And I said to myself, if I kill him right now, it's going to cost me $2,700 a month. And I don't want to give up the money. So I'll let him live.
I particularly liked the finger wagging that you did.
That was good. Yeah, that was kind of my... That's when he grabbed me.
I know.
Yeah. And right, right before I called him Sparky the Barking Fossil.
That was awesome.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
Just another Sunday night at 9:30 on Channel 23. Don't miss it.
Yeah, wished I wouldn't have missed that.
I love Sid.
There's not many episodes I don't see.
Sid brings out the best in me.
Not only the most entertaining segment in American radio, but the most informative as well. Whether I want to pick up a new golf tip, hear about the latest inside horse information, or just plain enjoy the exchange of two truly accomplished radio hosts, this hour of radio never fails to wash over my ears with pure enlightenment.
Can't hear enough of that.
And I couldn't have said it any better myself.
That's
I really
pretty much
know.
Word for word for me, too.
Let's take a call from Michael. Michael, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Well, hey, thanks, Colin. Big fan of yours and Darks. Keep up the good work, guys, as always.
Thanks.
But, to get to the Twins talk, too, I think you're absolutely right, Colin, too, that when you spend money on Mauer and Morneau like they've done, and you put those two guys in the lineup, again, it doesn't just mean that the team's going to be successful. They are going to nickel and dime their way to field the team. And fans do have to realize that, we are just going to be an average to maybe mediocre team because you can't just have two guys in the lineup with no pitching. And, Dark, I do kind of agree with you on Rick Anderson, too. He does get kind of a bad rap for taking the heat on some of this pitching because, again, I just don't think the talent's there. I mean, we've had good performances by Diamond and Walters, which is great. And even with Johan coming up, he did do a very nice job with that. But, again, I just don't think the talent's there. So, we have to hope for the best. And if they want to continue to win, they do have to spend money. So thanks for my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Appreciate that. Well, here's an email. Common Dark doesn't want to admit that the coaching staff's to blame, but think about this simple and obvious fact. Every one of the Twins players that have been on the team for any significant amount of time is worse now than they used to be. Mauer, Morneau, Valencia, Blackburn, Pavano, Baker, Liriano, and on and on and on. How can you argue that?
Here's one you can't argue. And the Twins...
Box. Box.
What's wrong with you?
What?
How can you argue that?
Here's the problem. The Twins had the most player days on the disabled list last year by 46 games. Now you tell me, who's playing with a full deck and who isn't? These coaches don't have any players to coach or manage. We're at a talent level that's so bad that they can't get rid of Alexi Casilla. They have to play him and they have to keep him. And he's horrible.
Seems like Mauer's personality is paired with his contract and causing him to melt under the pressure of very high expectations. Last year, he seemed scared to come back at less than 100% because of the expectations. Now, the more outs he makes, it seems as though the little voice in his head get louder. Am I onto something or am I on something? Your thoughts.
Everybody thinks Joe Mauer has this diabolical plan how to get out of being a great hitter by being lazy and gaining weight and... he didn't get in shape and all these things. And another friend of mine in the media and I both agree on one thing. There's something wrong with Mauer. He has some kind of physical malady. And it's not apparently to be discussed. And it never comes up anymore. But if that's the same guy I saw 2 years ago, I'll eat that chair. And there's something gnawing on him. I hope it's nothing really, really bad. But he's a different player.
Would you rather eat this one? It's got armrests on it. That one doesn't.
An armrest au gratin is wonderful on occasion.
Phone call from Mark. Mark, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was just commenting earlier. There's a guy in my office who, was working in the – he was actually a player in the Twins minor league system for several years. In fact, today he was just telling me when Frankie had his fastball around 90-some-odd miles an hour, 98.7, 98, he was unhittable. But this past fall and then going into the spring, he was telling me the biggest problem that the Twins have right now is Terry Ryan replaced a guy that basically left the cupboard bare. I mean, there is nothing in the cupboard.
So you're blaming the guy that left the cupboard. You're not blaming Terry Ryan.
Terry Ryan's got what he's got. I mean, there's only so much he can do.
Absolutely right. Speaking. Listen, I'll tell you something.
They only work with the talent they got.
Here's what happened.
This is a process.
Here's what happened to me. Tell me if this happened to you. Tell me if this happened to you. Common. When they got the 38-year-old shortstop, I thought to myself, what is this all about? They're not trying. They didn't go after somebody that could really help the team. But what they did was they probably got the most professional baseball player in either league. That guy is a lockdown pro. And he makes the plays at third and short and can play second base. He's a wonderful addition to this team. If he loses 116 games or something of that nature, it ain't going to diminish what he is. And he is straight up a ball player.
Dark, I would argue that Cuellar was as important or more with Santana than
Bobby
Anderson.
Bobby Cuellar? Come on.
Santana went back to AAA. Cuellar taught him the change, and Santana really took off. Your thoughts?
Listen.
I think there might be some truth to that.
Listen.
He sent him down to the minors. Cuellar worked on him with a change. He comes back up. He takes off.
He also arrived in Cuellar's hands with a folder and about 109 pages in it that said, here's exactly what we want you to do with him. Feed him at 8:30. Get him 16 long tosses at quarter of 10, and a little side three-inning job for him. Let him do his running, come back, give him 45 minutes to an hour with the weights, and we'll send him home at 5 o'clock.
The natives are starting to get restless. Dark as Nuts is the title of this subject.
Dark as Nuts.
Is he honestly defending the way the Twins manage the team? They need a whole new culture change, including all new management. He wants to sweep everything clean.
Yeah,
everything.
That'd work. You and I could go over there and take the place by siege. It'd be really good. We'd have Bootsy Collins in center field.
What do you think of the Pollard sold the team to Mike Vec?
I think it would be great if it was to the benefit of everybody. But Pollard's have provided us with the only two championships at major levels since I've lived here. I know it was a long time ago, but at least they know how to do it. All the other teams have no apparent reason to step forward because they're totally clueless by comparison.
Jay, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Dark, I love the sports show. Could you do the viewers a favor, though?
Sure.
Get your picking and your flicking and your scratching done before you go on here. I've seen you wipe a booger on Sid more than once.
Well, that's where they belong. Yeah, that arm on his sport coat looks a little darker. There's a reason for everything.
Tomorrow at 12:30 is a very special moment, or 30 minutes on KFAN radio, correct?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about a meat sauce.
No, I thought it was you and Racehorse Radio.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
That's tonight.
Oh, that's tonight.
That's tonight.
Sorry.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Racehorse Radio.
Tonight we're going to do that.
Sorry about that.
Tonight is opening night at Canterbury Park.
Right.
We want everybody to come out and have a good time, pick some winners. We'll be there tomorrow at 1:30 with the Preakness. And then Sunday, Family Day, the Pony Rides the Petting Zoo. My favorite day, right out here at the park.
The greatest jingle ever in the history of commercials was, and I don't know why they don't use it. Can you talk to Randy Sampson about this? Canterbury Park, where the people come to play. Canterbury Park, where it's summer every day. Horses sing. Why won't they bring that back?
They should. It's incredible. It's almost like not bringing Johnny Cain back.
Yeah, that's for sure, too. And, of course, Saturday is
Saturday with Sauce at Dark Star Production. Meat Sauce, thanks so much for having me in today, Common.
Dark, it's always my
pleasure.
Always
a pleasure, and we'll visit with you along the way.
The hour we spend together seems like about 58 minutes.
Disappeared for me.
Yeah, it really does. That's Dark Star. He's with me every single Friday during the 2 o'clock hour. Tennessee back from his vacation. Oh, goody, oh, boy, at 12 noon with the Common Man on Monday. We'll see you then. Stay with us. Have a safe weekend. Dan Barrero and JGR next. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. T to Green here on the Fan.
That's stuff for K-Fan to talk about and the second guessers and everything like that. Chicago's a tough guy town. It's a tough guy town. I care about what's best for the program.
I get enough criticism from letters and from the media and from the talk shows and from that guy that does the noon hour and all the people that are hitting on me all the time, that I don't need to, like, add fuel to the fire and tell you where I've made my mistake.
Hell no. We're going to go to playoffs. I'll tell you that right now.